Hey, everybody. Great to be with you today. I am Steve Besner, senior pastor at Houston Northwest Church, and I am joined today by my good friend, Marilyn Maddox. Marilyn is on staff with us at Houston Northwest. She leads our counseling ministry and does an amazing job. Now, for those of you who don't know Marilyn, I want you to know her because she is an amazing woman. One of the people that truly impressed me, she has a bevy, if you will, of knowledge.
It's a sickness.
There you go. So she is someone who has a law degree. She has a counseling degree. She's currently working on her theological degree. What degree are you working towards?
Master's in Theological Studies.
An MTS. Yes. So she is a polymath, if you will, the beautiful mind sitting right across from me. So we're going to be recording some podcasts that are addendums, if you will, to the series that we're in the middle of right now called I've Got Issues. So if you're listening to these podcasts and you find them helpful, you certainly are welcome to go back to our website, hnw.org, and listen to the sermons there, and then you can join in these conversations or you can jump in on the sermon conversation with a particular topic and match them up. So what we want to do is we want to just spend some time talking about issues that people struggle with, and I'm really hoping that I can just sit back and listen to the wisdom pour forth from Marilyn today. So we're going to start today by talking about the issue of escapism. Now, when we talk about escapism, we're talking about people, or the issue rather, of people who struggle with encountering or dealing with real life.
Right.
They want to back out. They want to run to certain escapist behaviors. So those escapist behaviors might include what, Marilyn?
Well, I think anything that we use to avoid negative feelings.
Okay.
So let's face it, today we don't have to look for things to get to escape to. They come looking for us.
Right.
I mean, they're in our hand with our phone. They're on the internet. Look how many subscriptions. What we got? Hulu, Disney Plus, Netflix. I mean, you name it. It's out there. It can distract us.
There you go.
And then we've got sports. You've got substances. I mean, the list can go on and on, but it's really anything that we use to avoid dealing with either negative feelings or anything that makes us uncomfortable.
So what you said there, I thought was pretty important, because you included things like Netflix and sports in the same list as substances. Now, most of us, if we heard someone talking about escaping into substances, we would say, oh yeah, that's bad
right.
stuff. But you're saying that it's other things, because people miss out on the fact that they're trying to avoid negative emotions. Can you kind of talk about that?
Right. I think, look, rest is not bad. Watching Netflix right. is not bad.
Right.
We all binge something, I think, on
right,
Netflix
right.
occasionally. I know I do. I was doing it this weekend. It's how much are we doing it to avoid dealing with reality? Are we using it as a way to not deal with things that need to be dealt with? I'm not talking about taking a break and resting and watching. I've been watching The Expanse.
Okay.
I mean, so it's not that. It's am I doing it because I can't deal with what's really going on in life? So I'm going to avoid that by replacing it with these escapist things.
Okay, that's really good. All right, so obviously, I think it would be pretty easy for almost anybody to look at their life, if they've been alive for very long, and say, I've participated in that in some way.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So why is it that we tend that direction? Why is it that we run towards something rather than running towards God, for instance?
Well, I think for one thing, I don't think we're equipped in our culture to deal with negative emotions. I think we're told they're bad, therefore they have to be suppressed and not felt, if that makes sense.
Right.
So if I feel a negative thing, I must push it away,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, it seems counterproductive, sitting with it.
So can you, when you say negative emotions, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean something that's painful, a grief, some kind of a disappointment, somebody has betrayed you, even a trauma from your past. Anything that brings that emotion up that says, oh, I don't really want to think about that. Mm-hmm. But if you don't deal with it, you're just burying it alive. And you stuff it, and all it's going to do is wait. It's festering. It's waiting to come out eventually. And so it's, I tell people all the time, we've got to sit. One, you have to identify what it is you're trying to avoid. And you can't do that unless you sit with it for a little while.
I mean, I'm totally in with you on this, but I want to just help our listeners who maybe haven't really thought through this. What it sounds like you're saying is that when I have negative emotions, so I start to feel sad or angry or frustrated, sometimes that's just totally normal stuff. You know, things didn't go the way I wanted to at work. I'm sitting in traffic, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But sometimes we will have what we might call unnatural responses to certain circumstances. Like our emotions are stronger than it really makes sense for them to be. Would that be fair?
Yeah, and it's that thing of, I've got something that comes up, I don't want to deal with it, therefore I'm just going to distract myself away and act as if it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, okay, I'm going to sit with that discomfort, I'm going to dissect it, figure out what I really, like you said, anger.
Right.
Anger is either fear, frustration, or hurt.
Mm.
But if you don't sit and say, okay, what is it? For me, when I get angry, 99% of the time it's frustration. Something's not going the way I want it to go. It lashes out at, it looks like anger, but the emotion, anger is not an emotion. That frustration is the emotion. And so I can either sit and deal and sit with that and go, okay, Marilyn, what is it? Peel back the layers of the onion, figure out what it is that I have to deal with. Because if you can't name something, you can't heal it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just this amorphous thing out there, you don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah. And so Marilyn, if you want to jump into your own story, you're welcome to do that. Yeah. I'll peel my onion, right here in front of everybody. But I've shared from the pulpit before that for me, what I discovered was that anger was actually, for me at least, moments where an old wound would be uncovered.
Mm-hmm.
So you said fear,
frustration, and hurt.
Right. So for me, it's usually a hurt. And it's usually, for me, a past wound of abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, an incident from my past that centered around abandonment. So what's funny is that then, I've shared this story with Marilyn before, like I had a day where leaving church, get in the car, pick up my phone, call Joy, and, hey, what are we doing for lunch? And she says, you're on your own today. She had some errands to run. And like that comment just sent me over the edge. I was so mad. How could she do this? How could she not, care about me? Why would she, abandon me basically in this moment? And it took me going to counseling and talking through this, peeling the onion, to realize that I had these negative emotions that were tied to something in the past. The reason I bring that up is that I think that for most of us, anger is sort of a different one. It's pretty expressive, tends to blow up and then kind of maybe blow over. But other negative emotions, but the same with anger, now that I'm kind of talking through it, we don't typically sit with it.
No.
Right? We lash out, and then we might be embarrassed, but then we just kind of want to move on.
Right. Distract yourself with something else.
Right. So it's like, hey, I'm going to go eat, or hey, I'm going to go watch TV.
Right.
Instead of examining ourselves, and going through the process of self-examination and saying, why did I just do that?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Is that, am I tracking with you? You're the expert.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just the title, the escapism. What are you escaping from? You're going from something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to figure out what it is you're escaping from.
So I'm not educated in this area like Marilyn is, but I did read a couple of books. So I'm going to talk about some stuff. And if this is just complete nonsense, please,
I'll jump in.
Yeah, let me know. But I've been reading this book that Matt, who's another member of our team, recommended to me on trauma, referred to me. It's a book called The Body Keeps the Score.
Yes.
I wish that I could remember the author's name right now. I know that I think he's Dutch
sounding.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Von something.
And he basically, it's just a brilliant book in which he explains how we tend to think of negative emotions as purely emotional, this separate category. And the reason he kind of comes back and argues that really these are things that are happening physiologically mm-hmm. within us, in our brains, sometimes even, you know, in our bodies, so to speak. Not that our brain isn't our body, but you get what I mean. Right. And so whenever these emotions come out, we think, oh, that hits some sort of soft spot emotionally, but it actually might have triggered something in our brain that's a physiological response. Mm-hmm. And so I'm saying all that to circle back, because you said a second ago, you can't heal something until you name something. Mm-hmm. So I think that whenever we have those responses, we're hitting something in our brain, and we have to name that. Mm-hmm. And so can you talk about that? Why is it that we have to name whatever it is that's being triggered in our brain in order to heal?
Well, I mean, have you ever had the experience where you knew something was off with your relationship with the Lord, but you couldn't pinpoint it? So your general prayer is, Lord, if there's sin, reveal it.
Right.
Why do we do that?
Yeah, because
if you don't know what you're dealing with,
right?
You don't know what weapons to use against it.
Mm, that's good.
Because it's very different if you're dealing with a past trauma, or if you're dealing with, you know, a betrayal from a friend or an abandonment from a parent. It's mm-hmm. very different. And so if we're, you know, if we're going to apply grief techniques to something that's it's just not going to work.
Right.
You got to know what you're dealing with.
You've got to have the right medicine, so to speak, for the right diagnosis.
That time heals all wound. I don't know who came up with that, but that's just so dumb. Mm. It's time plus the right medicine. Mm. You know, if I break my arm in here, take me to the doctor. Don't just sit here and hope that it heals on its own.
Right.
I mean, I want someone to intercede on my behalf.
Right.
And so that's what I'm talking about, is we've got to apply the right medicine. Mm. And so going back to what you said about the brain and the body keeping score, have you ever had the experience where you have, like, you smell something and you're immediately taken back to a memory?
Yes.
Or a song comes on the radio, or you see something. That's kind of what, when the body keeps score, it's the not to get too sciencey, but the memory and senses are very closely linked between the two glands in our brain. And so that's why when you smell something, it's like whoosh, you're just like literally taken back in time to a, you can see something, or you know a setting where you smelled that smell before.
Wow.
I grew up in the Middle East. And so when I walk into Mediterranean restaurants or the places, the grocery stores, I'm immediately with the smells and the sounds, I'm like taken back to my childhood. Mm-hmm. And that's because that's a physiological response to those senses.
And so this is why people can have maybe an encounter with someone that seems that on the surface is actually completely innocent, mm-hmm. but it reminds them of an assault in the past.
Yeah.
Or they can see something, smell something, and it reminds them of a trauma from their past.
And imagine in that moment, you can't quite understand what's going on.
Right.
You're quote unquote triggered. But you don't sit with it long enough to figure out what's going on. That's where the escapism kicks in, where we have this thing. I don't understand it. I'm having a negative reaction in my body sometimes even, and I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. Therefore, I'm going to go either use a drug, some kind of a distraction to escape. That's what you're escaping. You're escaping that discomfort that you can't explain or understand.
Right. So what, exactly. And so what I was going to say is that then what we end up doing then, those of us who have some level of self-awareness, mm-hmm. we end up treating typically the escapism, the behavior,
right.
rather than the root cause.
Correct. And that's in general, not just with escapism. That's kind of the overall Band-Aid that we put on things, is I'm going to change my behavior, but I'm not really going to figure out what's going on in my heart. And that's kind of the difference right there between secular counseling and biblical counseling.
Okay, talk about that.
I think a lot of secular counseling is about changing behavior.
Okay.
And biblical counseling is, hey, God says over and over in Scripture, I judge the heart. I judge the heart. And so we want a heart change that leads to a behavior change. That's the beautiful thing. We get both. Mm-hmm. We don't just get one. We get both. Once your heart changes, your behavior will fall in line and change.
Right, because I think that that sense of, you know, so I, if you haven't listened to the sermon, one of the behaviors I talked about was, you know, I'm wanting to control the amount of time I'm spending on certain apps on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, hey, I'm spending way too much time on social media. So I clumped all those apps together and I said, you know, I'm going to put a timer on it. I only spend this much time on it a day. And then once I've done that, then those apps disengage mm-hmm. for the rest of the day. But as I mentioned in the sermon, all that really is really just me. I stopped messing with social media, but then my tendency is to just run to a different thing,
right.
Which is, man.
You're still escapism.
Exactly. I want to, and it can be something as simple as boredom, mm-hmm. you know, instead of going, hey, look at these beautiful people that are around me that I should engage with because that's awkward or difficult mm-hmm. and it's easier to do whatever. Or I don't want to sit with the uncomfortable relationship between people or, you know, what have you.
Right.
Okay, that's good. So I think that we can sometimes do behavior modification. I think mm-hmm. that's kind of a popular phrase out there. Do behavior modification, but we haven't really gone after the heart.
Right, because that's not going to last.
So
we're going to shift it to a different behavior that's not healthy.
Exactly.
We're just going to trade one for another one.
So let's say that, you know, someone's listening to this and they go, "Wow, okay, I do that." And let's say that they go through the process and I'm not sure if you're listening, maybe that's counseling. Maybe you're self-aware enough to uncover what that wound or that mm-hmm. hurt or that trauma, whatever that is back there, is. But if they go through that process and they say they want to get better, and it's not just about addressing escapist behaviors per se, what would you typically say? Hey, this is where you got to run.
Well, I mean, the world is so full of distractions on purpose. I mean, Satan is the father of lies and the error and all that. So it's not, what's that song, prone to wander, mm-hmm. Lord, I feel it, mm-hmm. prone to leave the God I love. Mm-hmm. That's our nature. That's our flesh nature that just, for whatever reason, we know we love the Lord, but we're prone to wander.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's that intentional, purposeful redirecting. You can't just get rid of a behavior. You have to replace it with something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's that instead of escaping, we're running to. And we need to stop escaping from something and start running to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really what our soul is looking for. It's that hole, that wound, whatever it is that you're operating out of, that you're avoiding. God's out there going, I want to heal it.
So like, I agree with you, obviously. Because you know, hey, I'm the preacher, but I know that I can almost hear a cynic listening to this, saying, "I mean, that sounds so churchy.
It does.
You know, Jesus can heal my wounds. Have you seen this work? Have you seen people who have gone through the hard work?
Well, I've seen it in my own life.
Okay, let's hear about it. Whatever you can share.
Well, I mean, it's I have a background of some abuse in my past, and I didn't. I never dealt with it and I never identified it. And I was operating out of it for a long time and using unhealthy things to escape from it. And when I sat with it long enough to really unpeel it and say, okay, Lord, this did happen. It's not who I am. It's what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it's supernatural for a reason. We can't explain it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if we could explain it, it's not supernatural. That healing that comes only from the Lord that doesn't change the past but redeems it, that's what we're looking for.
Man, you just said so many things I want to follow up on, but like I want to start with, you said, this is what happened to me. It's not who I am.
Right.
And I think that so many times in pastoring, I've talked to people that terrible things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along the way, they confused the thing that happened with their identity.
Correct.
Do you see that a lot?
No, it's somewhere along the line there, something that's happened to them has become their label. And it's just a matter of retraining your mind and the way you think about things and reframing that and saying it doesn't change the fact that it happened. But if my predecessor and my mentor, Tom King, asked me a question 20 years ago and said, do you really believe what you say you believe? And of course, I gave the churchy answer and said, of course I believe that. But then I went home and I was like, do I? Do I really believe that? Because if I do, does my life look like it? And at that point in my life, it didn't. And I had to be honest with myself. And that was really where finally the Lord got a hold of me and said, okay, I can work with you now. And that was kind of my process. That began my process of what's my label? And anybody who labels me anything that goes against what Scripture has labeled me is a lie. And that's where I had to get was, I'm not all those things. I don't get to choose who I am. Once I become His, the Lord gets to decide what my identity is.
So what you're saying, you're dropping all these nuggets here, and I just want to chase them all down. We don't have enough time, but you just said some things that are so profound in that the Lord gets to decide who your identity is, and we find that identity clearly laid out in the pages of the Bible.
Yeah.
And I think that so many times it's easy for us to approach the Bible as a book to know,
right,
instead of a book to own or to almost implant into us. And I know that for me, you know, I talked about for me, you know, the abandonment thing for me, for you, you talked about abuse. I think that those things, you know, it can then, I can turn abandonment as a thing that happened to I'm unwanted. And the truth of the Scripture is I'm chosen.
Right.
And I am loved. And I think that, you know, you with your story, you have to walk through and recognize that. And so the Scripture is described as, you know, a weapon, you know, in a couple of different passages, and, you know, sword and that kind of thing. And we have to go to battle, to fight for the truth in these areas. Yeah,
and I think that goes, you know, so many scriptures that humanistic psychology has taken and like they make it seem like, oh, they came up with this stuff when it's biblical. It's taking thoughts captive and renewing your mind. That's cognitive behavioral therapy.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in grad school, we had to quote unquote pick a theory and stick with it through grad school, and I was like, I don't like any of these theories because none of them are biblical. Because I didn't go to I went to a secular college, and I found one that made sense, and then I was like, that's Romans. They just stole it from Romans. Because it's renewing your mind, changing your thought patterns, taking your thoughts captive. I was like, they totally stole that. So I took that one.
And they probably didn't know they did, but yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. So believe it or not, we're out of time.
Oh, that was quick.
That was really quick. So, you know, Marilyn, if someone is listening to this and they want you know, to get some additional resources or help, what should they do?
Well, if you're listening to this, you can call the counseling office. We have lots of lay counselors who love to talk with not only members of our church, but the community. You can call the church office.
281-469-3389.
Correct. We also have a direct line to the counseling office.
All right. I don't know that number.
Why would you?
Right.
It's 281-720-0032.
Very good.
Or you can email us and we'll get you set up.
Great.
Come in and talk to somebody.
So if you want more information, you can head over to the church website, hnw.org, go to the counseling page. They're on our website, and you can get more information. So obviously, we were just able to put our pinky toe in and talk about escapism today, but I think that we gave a pretty good framework. And I hope that you guys will continue listening along with us. We'll be jumping into other issues as we go through our I've Got Issues series. Again, I'm Steve Besner. I'm joined with Marilyn Maddox, and we look forward to continuing to talk to you about these issues at hand. Thanks so much, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to the H&W podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit our website at hnw.org. At H&W, we want you to feel right at home, which is why our vision is making Houston look more like heaven by helping Houstonians become more like Jesus.